And now to amplify Dr. Bakke's remarks about the important contributions of the Black Church to progressive organizing, we're going to play a short clip of remarks from 2004 by Jesse Jackson about the Martin Luther King organizing vision. Reverend Jackson was on this occasion the guest at a University of Pennsylvania forum hosted by Dr. Tukufu Zuberi, whom you will hear posing a question to Reverend Jackson.
What is the significance of Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy for social justice today in the United States and the world? Reverend Jackson, I believe you spent the last birthday that Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. had alive, and so you might be able to offer us some particularly unique insights in that way. Does it suggest how we ought to strive to make this a better world, that is, the celebration of his legacy? What does this struggle mean for people of African descent?
On January 15, 1968, around 8 o'clock that morning, he had breakfast with his family. He had convened a national staff meeting. Around 10 o'clock, we met in the basement of his church. He had on his windbreaker jacket, blue jeans. A few whites there from Appalachia, some of Cesar Chavez's group there from Southwest Texas, some Jewish allies, Al Lowenstein's group out of New York, some Native Americans, some blacks from Marks, Mississippi, and Deep South, and labor. A kind of multiracial rainbow coalition of sorts, focusing on a job on income for every American, healthcare and education, organizing a mass action march to Washington to engage in civil disobedience, come by train, by car, by plane, and set up camp in front of Lincoln Memorial because the Emancipation Proclamation promise had been broken. A mass action to Washington. Had to be called multicultural because he knew that that was not going to be a day when you had black full employment, didn't have brown full employment, or white full employment, didn't have brown full employment. So it had to be a multiracial base driven by a shared interest, a job and income for every American. He knew full well most poor people were not black, they were white, female, and young. He had to get beyond the fears of whites who tend to vote their fears rather than their interests. And for the hopes of blacks with despair. So it was 10 to about 1 on how to challenge government policy. Around 1 o'clock, Janona Clayton brought on a cake. We stopped him for about an hour. So we knew it was his birthday. Only we knew, really. Then from 2 to 5, we spent on how to end the war in Vietnam. We spent the monies that were designed for the war on poverty to go into war in Vietnam. So spent his own birthday, A, at home with family, be organizing a coalition for direct action, mass action, and how to end the war in Vietnam. So those who were there honor him on that day must be found somewhere planning how to eliminate poverty, how to end wars, and how to make our economy work for all of its people. That's how he spent his own last birthday.
And so you think the significance is in that, what we ought to do to celebrate that birthday?
Well, because his legacy is what? His legacy is mass action, A, unlike any leader before him. It's mass sacrifice. He was jailed 23 to 26 times, stabbed before he was killed. His impact was to change laws. No other leader changed laws. The 64 Public Accommodations Bill, the Voting Rights Act of 65, the Open Housing Act, mass action, body of sacrifice, and changing of laws puts him in a category all unto himself.